Good morning, church. God bless you all. Peace from God and joy from the Spirit. Let's stand up and pray together. Hallelujah. You know, this peace that I had, the world didn't give it to me. This joy didn't give it to me. And it came from God in heaven. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So let's just rejoice and let's pray together this morning. Really pray from our hearts that we need more of God today than we ever have. We need to see God. And the only way that we see God is that we pray. And we really pray and we believe, because it's God that's going to move this. God is going to move that mountain standing in front of us. Without God, it's going to fail. Without God, all this nonsense is going to fail. So we need to rise up and just believe and stand together. And we need to rejoice, which means you need to have joy in your heart, joy in your spirit. You need to speak joy and speak peace and speak that loud and clear so people can hear your faith and hear what God is doing in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this day and those in attendance. Let's have a great time in the Lord. We invite Jesus. We invite the angels to come in. We invite the Holy Spirit to be in all our hearts and be present, and let that Spirit rise up inside of you today as we sing and praise Him and read His Word and have a wonderful time in this beautiful sanctuary that God has blessed us to be in. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, the world has given us a lot of music through the ages, and we're going to take one of the world songs, as you know we do, and we're going to turn it over and give it to God. How many people can say, I'm a believer? Come on now. We've done this. I want to hear you say, I'm a believer. Let the world hear you say that. I'm a believer. Hallelujah. Pray that you would be so kind. Clap your hands.
God.
before you say you believe. Amen? Amen. Say, I believe. I'm a believer. That puts you in the family of God. That's a great place to be. Give Him praise, church. You know, I get it. You know, hearing the Word of God is easy. Reading the Word of God is easy to understand. Love the God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Amen? And then it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, you understand that. Amen? It's easy to hear. Here's the part. It's hard to do. But if we do it that way, look at the changes in the world. Sure, it's easy to say it, easy to think about it, but it's hard to do. Pray for your enemies. What? If your enemy needs water, give him a drink. If he needs food, feed him. And then you put hot coals on their head because you embarrass them. You show them what they are, not what you are. When you're screaming, hollering in somebody's face, you don't show anybody anything. We got to rise up and do it God's way. Amen? Give God praise this morning. You can sing this one. I know you can. This peace that I have. This peace that I have. She sent me this for our birthday. My birthday. It's a beautiful cross. And on that cross it says, Amazing Grace. Church, go home and read that Amazing Grace and understand that without that we have nothing. And God gave it to you freely. How many know that we all fall short daily, every day? That nobody's ever been perfect in this country or any other place in the whole world. Nobody's ever been perfect. But we work every day to do better. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. The Bible says, look forward. Do not look back because we've all made mistakes. I know, right? We've all made mistakes. Whether you want to admit it or not doesn't matter to me because God is listening. And if we've all made mistakes, then we all need to show amazing grace to our friends, our neighbors, our family, anybody who comes against us. Because this is unmerited favor from God. And he's calling his people to show that. Can I have an amen? That's what makes this country so beautiful. Because we work every day to make it better for all people. You look at the world and you look at the history and see in 255 years what we've done, what we're trying to do with amazing grace, believing on God, founding on the Word of God, on the Bible. Because we know that we make mistakes and that we fall short, we know that we need God to help us each and every day. That is the secret. We need God to help us with that amazing grace. We're going to keep this at the church. And you're going to find a nice place for it? Hey, go put it on the wall somewhere. Everybody stand and sing with us, to sing with my bride this morning as she sings America the Beautiful. We're getting ready to celebrate the 4th of July, Independence Day. When we started this idea, when the idea was started by imperfect people who made mistakes from the beginning, who tried to rectify those mistakes. Each and every day we look forward to fix those mistakes. America the Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful.
I don't even want to think about him being on my team. I want to be on his team.
I want to do things His way. I don't want Him doing things my way. I want to read His word and grow together and pray together and be strong together and see His hand working in front of us as we pray. Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Give him praise. Be seated. Enjoy God today.
Thank you, Lord.
You can't see how blessed we are this morning. And you can't see God working. I pray that the Spirit opens your eyes. Look around. See this church. See how alive this church has become. In a time when things are just falling apart, look around and see your brothers and sisters together. See what God is creating in this church. And give Him praise and give Him hope. That's the hope that you're looking for tomorrow. Amen. That's what we want for tomorrow. The Bible says don't look back. There's a reason why. Because we've made too many mistakes. We should never forget the errors, but we look forward and get stronger every day. That's the message. Amen? That's the message. Looking forward and doing better today. What can I do better today than I did yesterday? Because everybody from behind us from the day of this country was formed failed. They made mistakes. Imagine that. But they made mistakes, but they all trusted in God. You read their words. You read Jefferson's words and Daniel Webster. Read Lincoln's words. Read these people that they believed and stood on a foundation. A foundation of God. A foundation of the Bible. Why? Because this is the best how-to book ever written. If we follow it, if we can do what's in it, great things will happen. It happens every time we read this book. With everybody in the book. And today you're in the book. John, today you're in this book. This book is yours today to eat and eat it and enjoy it and be stronger because we know that we face things. Amen? And things are going to come against you. I'm sorry. As a Christian, things are going to come against you. We had a great Bible study tonight talking about Joseph. I'll get to the reading in 1 second. But we talked about Joseph being sold to slavery by his brothers. And we talked about him getting thrown in prison. And if you remember the story, I had a great time talking about it. And the Bible said this about Joseph, that God was with him. God was with him. But imagine this, if I could tell you God is with you, I'm telling you, when he was in jail, or when he was in that pit waiting for what his brothers were going to do, it didn't feel like God was with him, amen? But he did one thing. He did not complain. He did not fight. He did not scream out in anger. He prayed to God. Listen, it wasn't pleasant. Anybody can tell me that. It wasn't pleasant, him being in prison. That wasn't a great time in his life when his brother sold him into slavery. It was, so the Bible said God was with him. Does that mean he had peace all the time? No. Did that mean everything was wonderful? No. God is with you today. If I could tell you one thing today and you leave with this, and if you leave and you get in your car and you say, God is with me today, then I've done a good thing. If I put God in your heart and in your life, I've done my job today. Amen? Hallelujah. I got more, though. I pray that you receive it. But it said that God was with him. Understand, it might not always feel like God is with you, but when you're walking on the word and you're standing on the rock, you'll see all these things in your life that you've gone through, that God's carried you through. If you went back and read them all, you'd be amazed at what he did for you and the doors he shut for you to keep you safe. God is with us today. Look around at this beautiful church and see we are alive today because we have believers in this house. Give him praise, church. Crazy. Psalm 33. Oh, Lord. This is too good. I really, folks, I have no idea what she's going to put in this bulletin, nor she have what I'm going to preach on. Just know this, please. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. From his places of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Let your mercy this morning be upon us at Second Congregational, Lord, because we trust in you. Let the Holy Spirit that's in each one of us, that was a gift from God when we gave him our heart, when we said, yes, we believe, it was put inside of you. Let that Spirit rise up and change you this morning in ways you never thought possible. Do things that you weren't thought possible, and you'll see God working in your life. Trust God. Lean on God. Like I said, this morning I was writing and finishing, and he gave me this, and I want probably next week I want to preach more on it, but I don't want God to be on my team. I don't want God on my team. Because that if he's on my team, we're going to fail. I want to be on his team, Bonnie. I want to know that I'm on his team. I want to know that I'm walking right on his team. I'm playing the field right with his team. And then we'll all have victory. Because when this church grows, and it will, and prosperity comes, and it will, we all rejoice in that. Because your eyes will see. When I first came to the church, there were six people. Six. And two of them just left right away. And other people came to this church who were before, and they left in the middle of a sermon because they didn't like the charismatic faith that I was preaching. I get it now. I get it. But I'm preaching it to you because I want you to have that charismatic feeling. I want you to have a fire inside of you that you never had before. Because God is here and God is with you, and I want you to grab onto that, and I want you to be a part of his team. And that means we tell other people about him. Today we're going to talk about Paul and Silas. And you say, Paul and Cornelius and Peter. You say, well, how does that affect our life? Every bit of it affects your life. There's a lesson for all of us. Everything you read has a lesson for all of us. Amen? Amen. You just have to believe. You have to pray. Sometimes you have to fast. But just because I say God is with you doesn't mean that bad, good things are always going to happen. You have to stand on faith. You have to walk in faith. You have to trust God sometimes when you don't think you have anything left. You're holding on with your fingertips, and then all of a sudden God answers. Amen? That's the way God is. Sometimes he wants to know that you know that he knows. He doesn't want you to have all these people surrounding you, lifting you up. He wants to be the one lifting you up. And I pray that today your spirit gets lifted up and you want to know more about the God of this Bible as we talk about Peter and Cornelius and how it affects our life, how these stories all affect our life. Can I have an amen? Give him praise, church. Let this church be full of praise. We are alive because of you. We are alive because of you, because you're here today has made this church alive. You're doing something for God today. Sit back, and that's enough right there. If I just told you what you did today for God, you can go home and say, I did something for God today. Isn't that great? And you said you're a believer, so you're part of the family. Isn't that great? So all these great things are happening for you. Who wants more? I want more. Praise the Lord. Great reading. Thank you so much, Marilyn. Thank you so much. Okay, here we are. Quiz time, ladies and gentlemen. We need a thing. The Bible says, God says this, first quiz, it says, do not bow down to graven images. In other words, do not bow down to false idols, carved images, because God is A, the only God, B, a forgiving God, or C, a jealous God. Do not bow down to graven images because God is A, the only God, B, a forgiving God, or C, a jealous God. All right, let's read the word. In Exodus 20, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. How many said jealous? You win. Hallelujah. John, did you say jealous? I'm just checking. Okay, good. Second question today. In the time of Moses, what ingredients were used to cleanse the house of leprosy? When the house had leprosy, they had to use the different things. And is A, frankincense, myrrh, and gold? B, oil and blood? Or C, two birds, cedar wood, and scarlet and hyssop? So in time of Moses, what ingredients were used to cleanse the house of leprosy? Again, A, frankincense and myrrh. B, oil and blood. and see two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And we have that, okay? We find this in the book of Leviticus. Thank you, Lord. Let's read. Are we ready? I'm not ready. But if the priest comes in and examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Then he shall kill one of the... Well, that's, you don't want to hear the rest of that. Animal lovers don't want to hear that. How many said two birds and cedar wood? That's the very good. Good for you. We got one more. This is great. I'm glad that you're all learning something. I love this part of the service. I do. I get excited because we're sharing. Amen. I'm not talking at you. I'm talking with you. What a great service when the priest or the pastor or reverend's talking with you. Amen. Isn't that what church is supposed to be? Knowing. Okay, here he goes. Here you go. The third quiz. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces A, joy, B, peace, or C, patience. So I'll read it again. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces joy, B, peace, or C, patience. Well, the answer is C, patience. In the book of James 1:2. Hallelujah. So give God praise for that too. We did good today. They're getting a little harder because I thought last week I was real easy on you. So I have to make it harder, Greg. I can't let them get away with all that stuff. Isn't it fun to come to church and have a good time? Shouldn't we have a good time with the Lord? Am I crazy? Probably. But Bonnie, when you come to church, shouldn't you have a good time? Shouldn't it be make you feel good and make you smile and make your heart better? Isn't that what God is trying to do with all of us? Today I'm going to introduce you to Peter and Cornelius. Those are the two main characters. Cornelius was a Roman soldier. He was a centurion. The Bible says he was a devout man, feared God with all his household. Imagine that. He feared God with how many? All his household. I want you to understand that, because that's a big part of it right there. Not only was he a devout man, but his whole family. Why? Because he led them. He made it happen. It just didn't happen. And the fact that he was a Roman soldier and he was a devout man of God, understand that he was a centurion, so everybody must have known him. He must have been great in the army. So they must have known that he was a devout believer of the Jewish God. Amen? Understand it had to be that way, that everybody knew. And it was allowed, evidently, to be a Roman soldier and still believe in the Jewish God. That's amazing to me. That's interesting to me, that even though he was this, he could be that too. Amen? Now, Peter was a Jew. How many know that? Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. He was an apostle of Jesus. He lived and followed the Jewish laws. Are you ready? All his life. Traditions, his whole life. It's all he knew. He grew up as a Jewish man. He read the Bible. He knew Moses. He knew the readings. And he followed those readings. That's all he knew in his life. That's it. Traditions. Hallelujah. We're going to learn about that in a minute, what happened to Peter. And proselytes, proselyte, P-R-O-S-E-L-Y-T-E-S, proselytes, anybody know what that is? I'll tell you. Is a person who has converted from our religion to one religion to another. It's called a proselyte. That means they've converted. They did everything they had to do to become another religion. Amen? Most time it's into the Jewish religion. And then we're going to have Judaizers. Anybody ever heard that word? We're going to get into that word today. It's a believed man must become Jewish, obey Jewish laws and traditions and rites to become Jewish. Before, say that word with me. Before being converted. A Judaizer believed that any Gentile, had to do all these other things first before they can come to God, before they can call themselves part of the God, part of the family of God. They believed that, and they preached that. Amen? They did. And we had legalists also, excessive adherent law to formula, stress obedience apart from faith. They were letter of the law. They didn't understand faith. They didn't understand belief. They didn't understand what God was saying. They were legalists. They just followed the law black and white, and that's who they were. So we're going to start with Acts 10. If you want to read with me or write it down, read it later. God speaks to Cornelius, a Roman soldier who loved the God of the Jews. And again, it said he was a devout man. So others had to know. It was accepted. It was not a secret. It said there was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. But how many? Yeah, that's great, right? And it said he gave alms generously to the people. He gave to the poor. He gave to the poor. About ninth day of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And he observed him and he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? Let me stop there for a second. People want to hear from God. They want to talk to God. They want God to talk to them. You have to be in the right place. You can't be in a place of static. You can't be in a place of frustration. You can't be complaining. You have to be a prayed man. You have to be a man ready to receive. He's ready to talk to you, but he's not going to talk to you if there's so much noise around you that you don't even know it's him. Amen. Understand that it happens that way. He had a vision. You would have a vision if you went home and you prayed and you got on your knees and prayed and just kept all the TVs off and all the noise out and didn't talk to anybody, and then maybe you fasted for a half a day, cleansed yourself of all the things, and then you prayed again, God might show you a dream or a vision. That's how he did it. But he gave Cornelius, the Bible said he was a devout man, he gave him this vision. And when he observed him, he was afraid. Cornelius said, what is it, Lord? He knew, you see, you can't hear from God with static. You can't hear from God when you're angry. You can't hear from him. You just can't. You have to be at peace. You have to know that he knows. He said, your prayers and your alms have come up before for a memorial before God. Imagine that. If I told you this morning, Sister Mary, that your prayers to God were heard by God, you'd be like, you wouldn't know what to say. And God hears all our prayers. But he went and told him that. And he tells him what to do. He said, there's a man named Simon. His surname is Peter. He's saying, you're going to go to and send people. I want you to send people to his house. And he's going to come here and he's going to talk to you. He's going to explain things to you. He's going to speak to you about things. And he told him where it was. And he tell you what you must do. He said, you go see this man. And he didn't know the man. Amen. He didn't know the man. But because he was focused on God, Walter, because he was at peace and this angel told him to do it, guess what he did, John? Immediately sent three men to Peter. Did exactly as the angel had told him, to go to this place in Joppa where Peter was, this man Peter. So that's the beginning. And then we get down to verse 9 and now we hear from Peter. Who is Peter? A Jew, an apostle, a man who lived by the Jewish laws all his life, Bonnie, all his life. That's all he knew. Amen? He walked with Jesus. This was probably 10 years after the resurrection. So he walked with Jesus. He heard Jesus. He spoke with Jesus. And he understood, but he missed so many things because there was so much to learn. I get it that they didn't understand everything. How could they? Jesus was so amazing. How could you grasp everything he was saying? Truly. I mean, truly. And it says in verse 9, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. What did he do? He went up to do what?
Pray.
Pray. Pray. Not beg. Not just. He went up to pray. Probably said, Lord, thank you. Father, thank you. Help me. Show me, Lord. Guide me today, Lord. What can I do? He was talking to God. Your prayers to God aren't always requests. Their conversation, their communing with God, talking to God. We should do it more often. As a church, we should do it more often. Then it said, then he became hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He was so at peace with God on the rooftop. He was so at peace with God that he fell into a trance. If this ever happens to you once, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I can tell you in my heart that it happened to me once. One time I felt this, and it just like felt like I wasn't even there, and it was just the most amazing, and it was just hard to explain. But it said he became very hungry and wanted to eat. He fell into a trance. Do you know how much peace? Think about this. Think about this, Pat. How much peace he had to be in to fall into a trance. See, he wasn't worried about what somebody said the other day. He wasn't worried about what was on TV. He wasn't worried about how much this cost or how much that cost. He was in a trance because he was one with who? God. That's what we need to be. We need to turn off the noise and be like that. And then he saw heaven open up and an object like a great sheet bounded four corners, ascending to him and let down to the earth. It was all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, "Rise, rise, Peter, kill and eat." Whew. First of all, if you saw a vision like that, you'd probably be running to the next county. You might not even stop till you got to the next state. What in the world is happening to me? But because he was with God, he was at peace. Understand that that's missed. Understand he wasn't afraid. He was praying to God and he saw this vision. And then he heard the voice said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter was a who? He was a Jew. And he followed which traditions? All his life, the Jewish traditions. So he said, no, I can't do that. He said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Please, Miss Bonnie, if God ever tells you something and you know it's from God, don't argue with him. I mean, we've seen this time and time again where God tells somebody to do something and they don't want to. Jonah, Moses, remember Moses argued with him? We hear from God, if God has given you a message, rejoice and be glad in it. First thing he says is what? No. I'm not doing that. I've been raised my whole life. I can't do that. I never eat anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. He said, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And this was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. How many times? Three times. Man, you think I say the same thing? He saw the same vision the same day, the same hour, three times. And he finally said, "Okay, I get it." Maybe I don't. And he didn't get it, Dave. You know why? Because it tells us later when he goes to Cornelius, he has no idea why he's there. But he said, "Okay." And it even said this, 17, "Now while Peter wondered about within himself with this vision which he had seen men, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made an inquiry for Simon." Now they're there. The people are there that Cornelius sent. Amen. And he thought about the vision, and the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Finally, amen, what does he do? Exactly what God... See, the first time he's fighting, now he ain't fighting. Immediately, he said, "Go down," and doubting nothing, it said. Can anybody here say that when you're praying? Doubting nothing. Get up and say, "God heard my prayer, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they told him about Cornelius, the centurion, the great man. The angel came and said that we were supposed to come and get you. And then Peter invited them in and lodged with them. Understand this. That wasn't allowed. Amen, Walter? That wasn't allowed. Jews to eat with Gentiles. That wasn't allowed. But Peter invited them in to do what? Eat with them. This is new. This is all new to Peter. Thank you, Lord. And the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So Peter, the next day, gets up, and where is he going? To Cornelius' house. And he brings some people with him. Ever wonder why he brought people with him? Because he needed witnesses. He needed people around him to see what he was going to say, see what's going to be said to him. But he needed people around him. Maybe to help him lift him up and help him somebody to talk to. But it was important that he didn't go alone. Sometimes when you go to talk to somebody about God, don't go alone. Take two or three of your friends Amen? Take a couple of friends with you. Somebody that you trust, that you know they're not going to get too forceful and they're not going to get angry and they're not going to preach at somebody. Just talk to somebody. Peter brought other people with him. That's what we need to do sometimes. Amen? You have those things, you want a group of people with you. But you want believers with you. Amen? Never pray with somebody who doubts. I'm telling you that. Don't somebody say, pray for me. You all pray. But don't get somebody who's assuming, maybe, just possibly, if I pray, something good will happen. No, pray with believers. Pray with the power. So the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called, listen to this, please. He called together his relatives and his close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet. I love this part. And worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. I myself am also a what? He said, stand up. I myself am also a man. Everybody who created this country 255 years ago were men. Men who failed. Men who made mistakes. But they humbled themselves and prayed as we should do. He said, stand up. I myself am also a man. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many who had come together. Then Peter said, you know how lawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one another's nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent. For I asked then, for what reason have you sent me? Isn't that beautiful? He sees all the people. Now understand this, Cornelius didn't do this. He didn't have it by himself. This is things that you miss. Little things that you got to see. He invited all his family, John, and all his friends. And what did they do? They came. They all came. They all wanted to hear. They were all curious about what this man Peter was. I'm sure he said, I got this vision and this guy Peter's coming to my house. I don't know what he's going to say, but you got to come here. And all his friends said, yeah, let's go and do it. Isn't that great? You see, this is how it works. I thought that was great. People missed that. And so 30 is a very interesting word he uses here. 10:30 it said, so Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. I was doing what? How many here fast before you pray? I'm sorry, but there's power in that. It's called cleansing. You can fast, you wake up at 8 o'clock and say, I'm not eating nothing till noon. That's a fast if you're doing it unto God. You truly do not have coffee, not have lemonade, not have anything. But you fast for 4 hours and you turn the TV up and you turn to pull the shades down or whatever you need to do to have that solitude. That's called fasting. That's called getting cleansed and getting ready to talk to God where God can talk to you. Hallelujah, church. God talks to you. And in the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he tells him all the things that said. So he comes to, he said, now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So Peter doesn't know why he's there, right? Because he said, what do you want? And he tells him all his vision. And then he says, whatever it is you don't know, I don't know either, but you're supposed to tell me what you don't know. I mean, that's funny. Wouldn't that be great in a movie, that part in a movie where you can actually smile because it's truth? Peter doesn't know why he's there. Cornelius doesn't know why he's there, but they know they're supposed to be there. Peter doesn't know what he's supposed to say. Cornelius doesn't either say, but whatever God told you to say, say it. I think it's great. God said he'll put things in you. He'll give you things to say when you need to say it. If anybody believes like that, he fasted. Hallelujah. But Peter said, hallelujah, where are we? The fan turned my page. All right. Thank you, Lord. Before God, to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. I want you to write that down. That's Acts 10:34. Peter opened up his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care where you came from. He doesn't care what you did, how you did it. He's not going to show any partiality to you unless you give your heart to Him. And He'll lift you up. But He doesn't care who." That's what we all need to understand. He shows no, nobody is higher. Nobody is lower. When you give your heart to Him, there's no partiality. That's a beautiful thing. But in every nation, how many nations?
Every.
Whoever fears Him, how many people? And work righteousness is accepted by Him. Let me read that again. This is so important to understand. This is Peter saying, but in every nation in the world, whoever fears God and works righteousness is accepted by Him. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no yeah buts. There's no, is anybody confused with that? That's you today. That's you today. You're accepted by Him. If He's your Father, act like it. Have that boldness. And then he says, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. He's talking about Jesus. Because this is like 10 years after the resurrection. Amen? So that all happened. And Cornelius probably heard all about that and heard other people talking about it. So he's familiar with this. And Peter is saying this is after that. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. And we are all witnesses of these things which He did, both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised on the third day and showed Him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drink with Him after He arose from the dead. And here's 10:42. Listen to He, and He commanded us to preach to the people. To who? And to testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living. Hallelujah. Judge of the living. Imagine that. Ordained by God that He'd be judge of the living and the dead. To Him all the prophets witnessed that through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sin. What did you have to do? You had to believe in Him. Did you have to do anything else? Did you have to confess anything else? Did you have to sell anything else? Did you have to be better than anybody else? What did you have to do simply to be saved? Believe in Him. This is beautiful. 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's why Peter brought witnesses, and they saw what Peter saw. They heard what Peter heard. They saw that they were given the Holy Spirit. These weren't Jews, they were what? Gentiles. And they were given the Holy Spirit by what reason? Why? Because they did what? One thing. They believed. That's all they did. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit fell on me. I should do sermons on the Holy Spirit. I should teach you that we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. You can't pray to God without the Holy Spirit. That Spirit inside that yearns to talk to God. That Spirit that tries to bring you to the light, tries to bring you good things, tries to give you that peace. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. That's our power. That's a gift from God when you believe, and we need to use that. The Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I never knew what the Holy Ghost meant 30 years ago. No idea what they were talking about. Now I know it's the power of God given to us. Hallelujah. And he commanded them. Peter answered, "Can anybody forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Hallelujah. That's a great story right there. Baptized with water. We're going to talk about that someday soon. Hopefully maybe next Sunday. Because this heart right here, this heart wants to be baptized. I want to be baptized in the name of the Lord. I want to find a place and I want to be full submersion according to the Word of God. I want to be baptized. I'm praying about this as we speak. I've prayed about this and prayed about this and thought about this, and I looked up 10,000 scriptures and 10,000, well, five or six other websites talking about it, because some people say you don't have to be full immersion. I say, okay, just a sprinkling of water, but every time I read a little deeper, I say, nope. You have to go under the water and come out a new person. I want that. Nobody else has to want it. Amen. I'm not asking if you, but I want that. And if there's other people here who feel like, yes, that's something I'd like to do, then I'd like to talk more about that because I want to be baptized. And I just want you to know that it doesn't mean that you're saved, because the Bible just told us how to be saved is to believe. It's just an outward expression of an inward conversion. Amen. And if John the Baptist baptized Jesus, I want that. I want that. So I'm going to pray that you all pray about that. Would you do that with me when you go home and read about it? Pray about that and see what your heart tells you. Not to agree with me. We don't have to. It's not anything you have to do. But if they says over and over again, and Peter said, these people need to be baptized into the Holy Ghost. You know, we have the indwelling, but now we want the power. And I'm just bringing that out because it's on my heart so much. I want to be right with the Word. Can you tell me, say that with me? I want to be right with the Word. I want to be on His team, remember? I don't want Him on my team. So pray about that. So everything is good, amen? He tells him this, and Cornelius is the first Gentile Christian, the first man and his family come to God. Isn't that wonderful? Is that the end of the story? No. Because in chapter 11, who does Peter got to go to? Think about it. Here was Peter and a couple of people. So what has he got to do now? He's got to go to the other apostles and tell them what? Everything that he learned from God. And what are they going to tell him? You're crazy, boy. You're out of your mind. Because they're Gentiles. They got to be Judaized. We got to have them do this and do that. And we got to have them jump through hoops first. So chapter 11, Peter goes to the church and he meets the other apostles. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went to me, to an uncircumcised man, and ate with them? What? That's what they're telling him now. He's saying, I just went through this with all these people. Now I got to go through this with you, my brothers. That's crazy, right? Exciting. But Peter explained to them in order from the beginning. He told the whole story. I was in Joppa. I was praying in a trance. Yeah, the thing came down with the sheep and the animals. Peter said, kill and eat. But I said, no, Lord, for nothing common or unclean. And then he says in verse 9, but the voice answered me again, saying, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. He said, this was done three times. Took three times. And all was drawn up again into heaven. And then he tells about the three guys waiting for him, and the Spirit told him to go here. He's got to go to Cornelius' house, and he told us how he's seen an angel. This guy said he saw an angel, and he said, send men to Joppa, call for me, and who will tell the words of which you and all your household will be saved? Who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved? And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in the house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. How many want that? Lord, I'm not even looking. I want every hand. I want you to just know that. I claim that every single day. Me and my household. My children might not be going to church every Sunday, but I'm praying, Lord, that they believe in something. I'm praying and I'm holding on to that. You and your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, he's saying this. Listen, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as in the beginning. The same thing, we were in the house at Pentecost, and that great rushing wind was happening, and I'm standing there and it's happening again. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he said, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Read that and circle that word. They became silent. Then they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance of life. This is where the church starts praising and clapping and saying amen. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Say amen, because that's you. Yes, you. They believe. They finally get it. That's it, right? No more problems, right? Honey, if you would one time. Thank you very much. Chapter 15 of the book of Acts, it concludes. Are you ready? It should be all done now. Everybody knows, and everybody's going to preach, and this is good. Yeah, we're good. We're all Christians. Gentiles, good. This is great. Nothing can happen to us now. Oh, Lord. Okay. Chapter 15. And certain men, of course. Sergio, this is just deacon. Listen, certain men came from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Certain men. This may have been 10 years later, Pat, after this. I mean, we had all this time, and we've gone maybe another 10 years. And these certain men preached a certain thing, Bonnie. Imagine that. A new thing again. They're going backwards. And they're preaching it, and they're teaching it to who? People like you and me. Unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Forgive them, Lord. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. They're sending them, said, Paul, Barnabas, you need to go and you need to clear this up and you need to clear it up now. So they went through the church, they went on their way, and when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, how much dispute? Much, you thinking people arguing? Much dispute. Peter rose up. Peter, who rose up? Peter rose up. The man who denied him three times now has a fire inside of him. Praise God that you get that fire. Peter rose up and said to them, men and women, brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. God chose my mouth to spread the word. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. By what? Believing. Hallelujah. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Why are you doing this? We couldn't do it. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Hallelujah. Then all the multitude kept silent. It's a good thing. Can I hear an amen? Why were they silent? They didn't have anything left to say. He took all the energy. It was all gone. Every argument they had, it was gone. They were silent. Yes, when you read that and you miss that understanding, he stopped them and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Among the who? The Gentiles. Hallelujah. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. Here we go, 15:16, the prophets. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. Give God praise. Is it done? Hallelujah. Yes, give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Give me 5 more minutes. Please. You read the Bible and you read about the Pentecost and you read when they started spreading the word, Elder Nancy, and thousands of people were being saved. Amen. You read about Paul on his journeys and thousands of people. He's building churches everywhere and their people are coming to hear the word of God. Amen. They're hearing about Jesus. Peter said thousands of people were coming. What's the difference between then and now? We have certain men today in the last 2,000 years who come preaching another thing. We've had people build up other religions, other faith, other ways, other books, other than this. You wonder why it's hard to get people to come. Back then, listen, understand this. Maybe you never thought of this. But back then it was easy to bring people to God because they didn't have any other word. They had the Old Testament, and now they had the word of Jesus. They had the apostles preaching and building and talking about God, Jesus, the good things, the blessings from God. Amen? Praying in His name, being part of the family, being accepted. And people heard that, and they said, yes, yes, yes. Why is it so hard today? Because of the noise. Because other people are preaching other things, and people have itchy ears. Well, I don't want that to be a sin because I like that. Well, I want to be able to go there. If I go there, I can't. No, they have so much noise. That's the problem. How many have asked somebody to come to church? I mean, really, seriously, ask people. Don't be discouraged by it. Don't be, because it's you should understand that the noise is very loud. That's why sometimes when you go to somebody about church, Bonnie, bring a couple of people with you, kind, gentle people with you. Somebody who maybe they'll listen to because they know you too well. So I pray about my son all the time. I can't change his mind, but I pray, Lord, send somebody to whom he trusts. Maybe that person can change his mind. You see, that's why if all of us, just think of this, if all of us brought one person to church this year, one person, if you found one person and you brought that person to church this year, and then next year everybody who came then brought one person with, how many? In the whole year. If we brought one person, there'd be 65 people. And then next year, it'd be 130 people. In 2 years, by bringing one person a year to church. But don't feel bad because the noise is so loud. We have to pray. We have to fast. We have to understand that this is our time. And we need to pray and we need to lift up. But we need to let go of the aggravations. We need to let go of all these disagreements. We need to let go of the frustrations. We need to let people see the Spirit of God rising up in you. They need to know why you believe what you believe. They need to feel what you believe. And then they will come. If we build it, they will come. If we build this house on this word, they will come. They will hunger for good news. Can I get an amen? So understand what this Paul and Silas thing, I mean Paul and Cornelius thing, Peter, it's like it today. Just like it today, people are fighting with the good word of Jesus, arguing about who he is and what it means to be saved and how to be saved, how to do the Lord's Supper, how to come into church, what you got to do, what you got to wear, how much you got to give. There's nothing in here about that. But understand, just stay in faith. If you've been asking somebody and they say no, find somebody else. I mean, we spend our time on certain people, but find somebody. Hey, I got this cool little church. We laugh at church. Come on one time. That's how the doors get opened, amen? That's how people will come. No different for us than it was for them. And as we read chapter 15 of the book of Acts, understand that's the last time Peter is mentioned in the book of Acts. Good news from God. He loves you. Good news from God, He hears you in heaven. He hears your prayers. You want to hear more from God? Just draw closer to Him. He will draw closer to you. He hears your prayers. Let go and let God. That's a funny little thing, but just let go and trust God. Stand on the Word of God. Hallelujah. We take this, what Jesus told us to do in this house. We're going to do this, what's called the Lord's Supper, the Passover Supper, as we remember what Jesus did for us on that cross. Simply, that's what you're doing. You're remembering what Jesus did for us on that cross. That's what He's asked you to do. He didn't ask you to do it in any special way, but to remember. He blessed the bread, then He broke it. It's my body being torn for you. He said to eat and do this in remembrance of Him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for our iniquities. Any words, any feelings, any emotions, any worries, anything that we did, Lord, that separated us from you. Forgive us, Lord, and cleanse us this morning. Cleanse this house this morning, these people this morning. Pray, Lord. Hear our prayer. Cleanse us today, Lord. Thank you for this. as we receive the sacrament of your blood for the remission of our sins by simply believing, Lord. We believe. We are believers. Cleanse us, Lord, and we receive as he poured the wine into a cup. Saints, my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name. Believe me, we need to pray more. Maybe one day we'll have a prayer service. Maybe on a Saturday afternoon or someday. We'll just come together and pray, not for all our needs, but just to pray for God to come. For his feeling, his spirit to rise up inside of us. Not for any specific need or request, but just that God would rise up inside of us and make us stronger and one in faith, in love together, in bond together with one God, hallelujah, in one book. We should come together and pray more. We should lift up and pray together. We should lift up Elder Nancy and pray with her. We should ask her to pray for us. That's what she's here for, to simply pray. And let go. Let go of the things coming against you. Let it go. And let God feel that. Whatever you let go, let him feel that. We need to be a church that prays together, stands together, rejoices together. Strong church in God. If that's what you're looking for, then we need to pray for that here. We have that chance today. This is our church. Our choice and our church to make it right. I believe we're doing the right things. I believe. I pray for you today. I pray for your traveling mercies today. I pray for your children today, your grandchildren today. I pray for your peace today. I pray for my peace today. I pray for my wife's peace today. I pray that your joy be full. I pray that you receive all the blessings from heaven. I pray that for you today because God said I can, and God said he hears. I pray for each and every one of us to be stronger, to rejoice, and to find something in God that we didn't see before and want to tell everybody about it. Just like when we found a shiny coin and we wanted to tell everybody about it. When you bought a new car, you wanted to tell everybody about it. You caught a big fish, you wanted to tell everybody about it. I want everybody to be excited about Jesus, that same Jesus, because he gives to those. You're giving them a gift that nothing can compare to. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Give him praise, church.